Talk Radio.
Well, it's Friday, and yeah, you're probably thinking, wait a minute, moving the chains is on Wednesday. Well, we moved it to Friday for a few weeks to get this thing going with all the stuff we've been going on, and I'm glad the fan base has been following us. Here's truly Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, my sidekick, the star that stirs the drink, Danielle Orsino in Charlotte, North Carolina, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, the threes, Danielle, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And, man, there is a lot to talk about.
Hi, Mark. I hope everybody's doing good. I know it's early for some listeners, but thank you so much for getting up and joining us. I'm a Giants fan, so how do you think I'm doing? But other than that, everything's good. Everybody can reach me on Instagram at Versus a Fay, but we can jump right into it because I have a lot to say today, so everybody should just, like, buckle up. You know, we have a lot of games going on. Yes, the Commanders lost last night, and I know you're ready to go off on them, Mark, but I'm going to defend them just a little bit for a second. I think they put up a really good fight against the Eagles, and to me, they just look tired. Yes, Rivera has to go. I'm going to just say that right now. I think it's time for Bieniemy to step into the head coaching position. But to me, a lot of it was the Commanders, I think, put just everything they had out on the table and laid it all out Sunday against the Eagles. There was no fight left in them. And I think these Thursday night, these short weeks and these Thursday night games, this is an example of where they just laid it all out. There was nothing left last night. They were just exhausted. And that's the only defense I'm going to give them because I have nothing else. Chase Young looked just disgusted with everything. And with the passing of Dick Butkus, I think the Bears just had a little something extra behind them. So that's the only that's the only pass I'm going to give the Commanders. That's all I can do for that. Other than that, everybody buckle up because I've got an editorial to do right now. Evan Neal needs to go for the Giants. I want him gone. I want him gone like yesterday. I don't care about his little apology. That is not how a professional acts. I don't care if you lose. You can be frustrated, but what he said about Giants fans has my blood boiling, and now you need to go. I want him traded. I don't care if he ever plays again. I don't care if he becomes the greatest Giants player now ever. What he said was so disgusting. I can't see Mara putting up with it because whatever's going on with the Giants, Mara has always kind of said, you need to be classy. For him, you got booed. You got booed, dude, because out of four games, you have allowed 20 pressures on the quarterback. 20 in four games. Daniel Jones was sacked 10 times against the Seahawks. You're on the right side. A lot of that came from the right. Your job is to protect him. There were times against Dallas where you literally just moved to the side and, like, let Micah Parsons in. So you got booed. Why? Because you're not doing your job. You were the seventh pick in the 2022 draft. We expected better things out of you. So when he got booed, he went off on a rant about how he's a lion, and why should a lion care about hamburger flippers and hot dog vendors? And that's what he called Giants fans, amongst other things. He was nasty to us. Here's the deal, Evan Neal. When you're long gone, which you will be, Giants fans will still be here. We will be bleeding blue long when you're gone and forgotten for football. You get paid a lot of money, and all you have to do is block. That's your job. So screw you. We will not buy your jersey anymore. We will not cheer for you. So screw off. That's not how a pro acts. You got booed because you're performing badly. He's also creating unnecessary distraction in the locker room. When your team is underperforming, the fans are going to get mad. We pay a lot of money to sit our butts in those seats, and those seats do not come cheap, nor do the hot dogs or the hamburgers that you're talking about. But to come after us like that, and then to come after us financially when you're making all this money to play a game, F you. That's just not how a pro acts. That's not how a Giant acts. So guess what? We're not buying new jerseys anymore. You're not going to get that revenue. And literally, the fans help pay your money. So I want them gone, and most of the Giants fans feel that way. I hate when players act like that for getting booed. And don't come back and cry, oh, I was getting, they were being mean to me on social media. Really? So you're going to blame the whole fan base and call us fair weather fans? You're losing, your record is 1-3. You're getting blown out 24-3. 0-4, we're mad. You just made the playoffs last season and now you're this. Damn right we're mad. Grow up. So that's my rant for today. Mark, how are you?
Wow, you brought it all to the table, and let me tell you something, Danielle, you're absolutely right. I mean, this guy ain't playing in Indianapolis or something where you don't have the fan support that, you know, and I don't want to knock the city of Indianapolis, but you go into some city, hell, you can turn this into a baseball thing and 19,000 show up for a playoff game for the Rays after they won 90-something games, so... This is New York, and, you know, either you embrace it or there's only alive. I mean, you start going off on fan bases in New York, Philly, and Boston, you got one ticket out of town. And that's the thing. It's kind of like, you know, if you're a malcontent and you go into New England and Pittsburgh and they get rid of you, you got one foot out of the league. So this is a situation where, you know, shut your mouth, take the loss.
Yep.
Eat a little humble pie and move on. And don't call everybody out because they're booing you and then tell them to boo you louder. I mean, that's absolutely crazy. But I will take a shot at your head coach, who I had a lot of respect for.
Go for it.
Now I'm kind of looking at him like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Throwing a clipboard on the sidelines at Doug Jones. I mean, you know, this is crazy, man. I mean, that's held behind closed doors. This is – kind of reminds you of the Dodgers where they throw guys under the bus when they don't have all the facts on stuff and then they start taking murals down and stuff like that. But the ball going off on Jones like that, see, that's why people can knock the New England Patriots, Danielle, but they held everything behind closed doors so you never knew what was going on. And that's the way you handle your business. You take it behind closed doors and then you come out with a smile on your face. And today's National Smile Day, but the ball lost a lot of respect for me with that kind of thing. When you're getting beat like that and you're getting embarrassed, you know, you don't stand here and show up your quarterback. And, you know, this is the problem, what's happening in some of these cities where general managers are firing managers just to save their own ass. And I lost a lot of respect. I don't know what you think on that one, but we'll let you hold on that comment for a minute. The Redskins just got embarrassed yesterday, and Magic Johnson called them out. That's crazy. 27-3 at halftime. You're taking a winless Chicago Bears team that's probably the worst team in the league. I thought Green Bay would be with the Bears being second. And they come into your backyard, not in Chicago, at your backyard. And the only inspiration that they can hold on to throw this thing into a fight with the Skins was, God rest his soul, Dick Butkus died at 80 yesterday. So they knew that before the game, and they ran with that one. But the Skins didn't show up. Ron Rivera needs to go. I've been saying that for a long time. And if you don't let this guy go, Bieniemy is going to get a job out west here, you know, whether it's the Chargers or something like that, because you've got to be able to move Bieniemy in the head coaching position and show Rivera the door. This team now has lost three in a row. Okay, Buffalo, I understand. Philly was a close game. But to come back and lay an egg against the Chicago Bears is a complete travesty, Danielle.
DJ Moore had a game of his life. I mean, let's call that. DJ Moore was on fire yesterday. I mean, it was like, I feel like that's what the Bears have been – this is why the Bears got DJ Moore. I mean, this is what they were waiting for from him. But there were a lot of missed tackles. There was something just going on, and that's why I said the only pass I will give them is because I felt like the Commanders really went after the Eagles, but to me they looked tired. They looked like they left it all out on the field Sunday and just did not recoup from Sunday's game. So that's the only pass I'm going to give them, but the other thing is, to me, you're right. Rivera, I've said this, and I agreed with you from before. Rivera's coaching style, I mean, the field, why going for the field goal when they could have gone, you know, pushed it. I feel like he's playing way too conservative. And to me, I think Rivera is going to be gone mid-season. And I think that was the whole point of hiring Bieniemy. I think Rivera is looking at his replacement right there. That's my personal feeling. I can't say I have any insider knowledge of this, but I also don't feel that Chase Young is being utilized. You know, I mean, him, Montez Sweat, I think they look great together, but there was some misses going on. The holes for the running game on the Bears to just run that thing up and down, I was looking at it and I'm like, is this the Bears team? This was what I thought the Bears were always going to be in the beginning. When we were talking about it in preseason, I kept saying, right, oh, the Bears are going to be something. And then I watched them, and I'm like, what the hell? You guys are making me look like it. This is the Bears team I thought we were getting. You know, the run game was on point. The pass game was on point. And I'm like, what was it? And then I was like, no, the Commanders just look like crap. You know, that's really what it was. So I'm very confused by all of it. But, I mean, when you look at the game they had, it was just, this was an amazing game for the Bears, and it was a crappy game for the Commanders. That's all I could say. There were missed tackles left and right. The Bears could get them to easily shift right and then just create this hole left. They could play the edge easily. So I don't know what was going on there, but I think it's time for Rivera to go.
No, I think you're right. I mean, that's the thing. And, you know, now we're at the crossroads with some of these games this week. Don't be surprised if the Giants get their act together and stun the Dolphins in Miami. Dolphins look like crap in Buffalo. And everybody that was telling me about the Dolphins, this and Dolphins that, what did I say, Danielle? I said, this is a team that's like the UCLA Bruins in football. They start out 3-1, 4-2. They got hammered by a team, and they will meet the last game of the year in Miami. And by that time, I think Buffalo will have showed up this division. I don't know what your thoughts are on the Dolphins.
I don't think the Giants are going to stun them because the Giants are self-imploding right now. They have not gotten Darren Waller involved at all. Jalin Hyatt has been silent. So I don't know. And the O-line is the problem, which is the other reason why Evan Neal should keep his big trap shut. You're on the O-line, dude, and you're the biggest problem. So, you know, we can all get on Daniel Jones. And believe me, Daniel Jones is a huge part, especially with the money he's getting. But if you don't have time to throw the ball, I can't really critique you. Yes, the fumble and stuff, I got all that, guys. I understand that. But once again, if you're running for your life all the time, I can't yell about Darren Waller. I can't yell about Jalin Hyatt if the guy is constantly staring down, these pass rushing. So there's a lot of issues there. They haven't done enough. I know they just signed Justin Pugh, who's coming back as a Giant. They're working out on a lot of offensive tackles. But I don't think they're going to get that. The O-line is the problem. The defense, even with the Seahawks game, the defense started out hot. The defense just spends way too much time on the field that even if the defense is getting okay, they just gas out. So I can't even evaluate the defense enough because they can't do it. They can't convert on third downs, or the other team just gasses them on third down. So I don't think that they're going to do much. You know, I mean, Wink Martindale can sit there and say, I'm not losing sleep over Waddle and this and that. I'm not worried about I'm worried about the Dolphins. Sorry, I am.
The big game will be, and I've said this week to a lot of guys on different shows, I think the two teams right now that are playing the best football. And people might disagree with me on this. And you know me well enough, Danielle, that I'm going to throw these two teams. If you're going to give Super Bowls, because people are talking about NFC Championship game with the Cowboys and Niners Sunday night in San Francisco, and I'm going, well, wait a minute. I didn't know we're giving Super Bowl, NFC Championship games after 4 weeks, a quarter of the season. But I will tell you this. If you're looking at two teams that are looking to maybe have Super Bowl aspirations after 4 weeks, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going with the Eagles and the Ravens. And they've showed me a lot. I'm not a Raven guy, being a Pittsburgh kid. But I will tell you this. The Ravens, without J.K. Dobbins, Lamar Jackson looks like he's, on the revenge tour to show he's the best, quarterback in the league. And they've been playing. Now, I think they're going to get beat in Pittsburgh because I think Pittsburgh's going to bounce back. They always have these lousy losses once a year where Tomlin doesn't really get this team prepared. And not to have them prepared for the Texans is a joke, especially with an Ohio State quarterback and C.J. Stroud. Because he's his quarterback the NFL for, you know, a cup of coffee. But I will tell you, the Eagles are clicking. Now, people might tell me the Niners and this and that. I don't think the Niners have really played anybody. They snuck up on the Steelers on the road in that first game. They beat a Ram team. I mean, look, what have the Niners actually done? I mean, when you look at it, they beat your Giants when the Giants are, you know, trying to find themselves. But I think the Cowboys are going to go in there and beat them. I really do. I think the Cowboys can beat the 49ers Sunday night. I don't know what your take is on it. I don't know which game sticks out to you. I know at the end of the show we'll have the don't be surprised and give me a sure shot, but I like the Cowboys in this one.
I think CMC is having another career season. He looks good, but I agree. The 49ers have not been pushed enough. But then again, the Cowboys lost to the Cardinals. So you know, they can get rattled. I think the 49ers are going to take the Cowboys, but I think that is the game to watch, obviously. You know, I think the 49ers are getting the same kind of schedule that the Eagles had last year, where we were looking at the Eagles in the beginning, and everybody's like, oh, the Eagles are the team. But for a while, you were like, yeah, but who have they really, you know, in the beginning of the season, it was like, but who have they really gone against? They hadn't been pushed in the beginning. So I think the 49ers are kind of getting that same type of they really haven't been tried. I think this is their first real trial, so we'll see how they do. But then again, you know, you always get that one team that gives you a hard time. I don't know. I think this is that first trial for them. The Jets better beat the Broncos. The Jets really need it. I think that game against the Chiefs, I'm still not convinced on Zach Wilson. I won't be convinced on him. He is not the one to do it for this team. Did he play better last week? Oh, 100%. He was much better.
Right.
He finally figured out, I can throw the ball more than 10 yards. That's awesome. Yay. You know, I feel like I want to give him a lollipop and be like, welcome to the NFL. You did it. You know, I don't know. I just want to pat him on the head and be like, yay. He's just like a little boy. But that whole game, I don't want to see Taylor Swift. You know, I felt like that.
God.
Honestly, NBC should really just be ashamed of themselves. They were explaining football like I was watching Football for Dummies. Like that book came alive.
Yeah.
And it was just, I'm like, you understand actual fans watch the game. Like, I'm not here to see Taylor Swift like clapping up and down. That's great. Good for the Swifties. But some of us actually watch the game. It's crazy. When there's a play going on or they're making a call, don't show the box. I don't care. But anyway, the Jets, they better beat the Broncos. I really don't know what's going to happen with that. I'll be honest, I just don't know. I'm very disappointed. The Falcons have not figured out that Desmond Ridder is not the quarterback. You have this great defense. You have Bijan Robinson, and we have a dud at quarterback. Arthur, what are you
right.
doing? Figure this out, because you could take the NFC South. The Bucs are not the one, but you're giving it up because, kind of like the Jets, you're holding on to this quarterback thinking he's my guy. No, he's not. The Saints rushed Derek Carr, and that game was just ridiculous. Derek Carr's shoulders messed up. You know, what are we doing here, guys? Like, I think the NFC South is, like, wide open, but everybody's making really bad decisions at key moves. And I think the Bucs are now probably going to run away with it because they're just like, hey, we kind of have some of the parts. Cool. I don't know what's happening with that. Be totally honest with you. Like, the NFC South, I think now the Bucs are like, we got it. Look at what they're doing. You know, it's a shame because I think the Falcons really could run with it. But Desmond Ridder is not the guy. And once again, shame. They've got all the parts. They just – I feel like Nick Foles is watching these games from home, and he's going, somebody put me in. I could totally do this. Just some, like, he's calling his agent, and he's like, call them. Call them because I could fix this. And I'm like – it's just one move, and they're all just one piece away from running away with it. And they're just being stubborn. They're holding on to something that it's like you're not driving the right car. You're trying to get on the racetrack, and it's like you're pushing your Hyundai, and you're like,
right.
This is the one. I souped it up. I changed the tires. And it's like, no, that's still not
Hey, when you look at these other games, and I'm just going to get into it now because, you know, as we get down into the less than 10-minute mark, and I'm going to break these games down, why I think this is the sure shot, why I wouldn't be surprised. I threw a little tease with the Giants, and, you know, and I'm not putting the don't be surprised because I'm just saying, hey, you never know. But I will tell you, don't be surprised if Minnesota at home pulls one on Kansas City. I think this hoopla with the Kelce thing, I think this whole thing with Taylor Swift, and I you know what, from a man's standpoint, you know what, she could be a good, you know, a great lady and everything. She just doesn't do anything for me. I don't understand, you know, but, you know, it's a whole thing, and I don't know if the NFL is trying to sell tickets in Kansas City or whatever, but I'm telling you right now, the Vikings can pull one on, you know, Kansas City. Don't be surprised if Minnesota beats Kansas City in Minnesota Sunday. Huh. Now, I don't know what your thoughts are, and I don't know what your surprise
That's
is.
Interesting.
And then we'll get into the sure shots.
Huh. Okay. That's interesting. You know what? This Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift thing reminds me of the Tony Romo, Jessica Simpson thing years ago. A little reminiscent of that. And we all remember how that went. But I don't be surprised. I'm going to say even though the Titans beat the Bengals once again, thank you so much, Joey Burrow, for making me look like a chump. I really was behind you on that. I think don't be surprised if the Colts, I know the Titans are coming off a huge win. I think the Colts, don't be surprised if the Colts take the Titans. That's my don't be surprised. I know everybody's high on the Titans right now, but I think the Colts pull that one out.
Wow. Okay, now the sure shot. My sure shot is, and we talked about it earlier with, I think, the two best teams in the NFL after 4 weeks, the Eagles and the Ravens. But I think the Steelers have a lot to prove Sunday in Pittsburgh, and I think they're going to bounce back and beat the Ravens. These games, you can cut them with a knife, Danielle. You've watched football for a lot of years. I think they've played like Tomlin and Harbaugh have played, I don't know how many times against each other.
Yeah.
And I think you can cut the last 14 games with 7 points or less. So that is simply amazing. I'm telling you right now, another close game, but I think the Steelers pull us out. I don't know what your take is on that and what your sure shot is.
Okay, let me look at the Steelers. I don't know. Kenny Pickett, he says, even though it's a sprain, he plans on playing. He's on track to play Sunday. I don't know. With that sprain, then we got Mitch Trubisky backing that up. I don't know. Lamar's looking hot. I got to go with the Ravens on that one, Mark. I gotta go against your Steelers. I think the Ravens take it on that one. Yeah, I'm going to go. And I hate saying that. But Lamar is just out to prove too much. He had a great game. So I'm thinking the Ravens take that. I mean, he had his first career game with 2-plus passing touchdowns and 2-plus rushing touchdowns last week against the Browns. Granted, it was the Browns. But still, my sure shot, though, DMC, don't let me down. I'm going to say the 49ers take the Cowboys Sunday night. I'm going with the 49ers, and I'm going to say the Cowboys down, only because it's the Cowboys, and I have a T-shirt that says anybody but the Cowboys. So I have to go with the 49ers because it's in my blood. Cowboys fans come at me. I know. So I'm going to go with that. But the game that is sticking out to me that I really look at and go, this could go any which way because now it's the two worst teams, some of the two worst teams.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the Bengals and the Cardinals. That, to me, is a total, like, you really could coin flip that game because I have no idea what could happen. You could get Josh Dobbs, who's like a superstar, or the real Joe Burrow could show up. I have no idea how to call that game. I'm going to be totally honest with you, Mark. Like, you have no idea. Pop Warner versions of both those teams could show up, or Super Bowl versions of those teams could show up. You're looking at the Cardinals, who beat the Cowboys, and then you're looking at the Bengals, who were Super Bowl contenders last season. Who shows up?
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point, and that it really is. Hey, as we wind this thing down into the four-minute mark, I know you got a big show starting up on October 23rd with Chelsea. Tell us a little about that, what the listeners can, gravitate towards that, and let us know about the new sponsor here.
On October 23rd, there's a new show coming out with my friend C.R. Rice, who is a fantasy author as well. She does dark metaphysical YA. It's called A Novel Beginning, and it's just her and I kind of sitting back and telling everybody what it's really like to be an author. We're pulling the sheet back, the curtain back on the publishing world, and telling everybody what really goes down in authors' heads, the voices, and everything that happens in our crazy lives, what we do to write our books, the stuff that goes down to make ourselves stand out as authors, and kind of the nitty-gritty. Some of it's not so pretty. A lot of it's not so pretty, actually. But it's questions we normally get asked that when we're in our interviews, maybe we have to give you the nice answer. We're giving you the not-so-nice answer, and we're telling all our listeners the truth about what it's really like to be authors, dealing with publishers, dealing with distribution, all that stuff, and then just the creative side of life. So we're kind of just deciding to just put it all out there and put ourselves out there. So that's A Novel Beginning, and that's 9:30 Eastern Standard Time here on Blog Talk.
And let everybody know about that sponsor as well.
So for all your sports fans, you can check out Sportspalooza. They have daily challenges by the Meldiverse Game Master, and you can win these insane prizes like game tickets, team merchandise, player merchandise, memorabilia, and more. There's limited spots available. It starts, so if you check out Meldiverse.com, you can look at Sportspalooza and go from there, and you'll see all the rules, what you have to do to sign up, but it's really cool. And Meldiverse is a big sponsor. They're also actually coming out with my Los game. Los is the dragon that's based off of my little Yorkie Carlos, and he's in The Birth of the Fae, and you'll be able to adopt a dragon. But for now, just check out Sportspalooza on Meldiverse.com.
Man, oh, man. And I'll tell you one thing. Your picks are absolutely amazing with everything you do with that whole thing, too. Just so blessed to be a part of what we do each and every week. Let everybody know you'll be traveling next week and doing the show on the road.
Yes, so next week I will be at Nightmare Weekend in Richmond. That's a GalaxyCon event. It's a horror con, but the pop-up bookshop will be there. I will be there with my friend C.R. Rice as well. And you can come if you guys are in the Richmond area and you want to check it out. You can come, go meet some horror people. It's actually a lot of fun, but they'll have merchandise. And like I said, panels and all those kind of things. That'll be at the Richmond Convention Center, but I will be there, and I will be doing the show from the road on Friday. And like I said, I'll be at the pop-up bookshop, signing autographs, doing all that fun stuff. And, of course, if you come by, we can talk about picks and talk about whatever went down this weekend in the NFL.
Oh, I love you dearly. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you before we wrap this thing up.
You can always check me out on Birth of the Fae on Instagram. And slide into the DMs and let me know what you think of what's going on in the NFL. And if you want to go off on Evan Neal, I'm always open to listen now because he's become public enemy. For one, the Cowboys. But other than that, it's cool.
I know we had some comments today, and I apologize, guys. We'll get to them next week. We were just out of time. It just went by so fast, over 300. We love you dearly. For Daniela Orsino out there in Charlotte, North Carolina, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. We'll see you next Friday. Man, oh, man, it'll be 10 o'clock in the morning straight up in Charlotte. Well, she'll be in Richmond. 7 o'clock minus the Denver omelet and country potatoes in the West Coast. Till then, have a blessed one. Thanks for tuning in. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Have a blessed and safe weekend, and thanks for making us a part of your morning.